thank you guys. I just want to thank you guys so much for being here tonight, and just because it means a lot. I was reading about this just this week about it was a church that, like, at this time, you know, like at on Holy Week, they did one of the things where they, they did a big production, and they did like a, you know, a passion play and everything with Jesus and being arrested and in the Garden of Gethsemane and just all of it. And there were like a million people in it, and they had practiced. And this mom took her, her whole family was there, and she took her daughter, who was 4. And when they got to the part where Jesus was being beaten, and her daughter said, "I don't like this." And she said, "They're mean, and I don't like this." And her mom said, "You know, honey, it's okay. It's just pretend." And, you know, which they always, you know, they used to always say that. And I remember when every year they put on The Wizard of Oz, and I hated it. And it scared me so bad. And they used to always say, "You know, it's just pretend, you know." And I remember one reading what Edith Hamilton, she played the Wicked Witch of the West, and she was giving some college lectures about that movie, and they asked her to make that laugh, you know, that she made, and she did, and everybody got real quiet. And they were like, "That really was really creepy." And this little girl wouldn't stop, and she said, "I don't like this. I don't like it." And her mom had to take her out, and they went in the lobby. I remember when the movie The Passion of the Christ came out, and I didn't go to see it, because if I had, I think I would have just sat there just going, "I don't like this." You know, and I think maybe people could have said, "It's just pretend." I remember reading an article about it, and the person that was playing Jesus, they did get to the part of the whipping, and he had a wooden board on his back, you know, so they were hitting that board. And one guy missed, and it hit him. And he turned around, and he said, "What in the blank are you doing?" It was pretend. And I saw a part of it one time, and one thing that I know just from Scripture, because everybody just thought it's just like it was, but it wasn't just like it was. It was worse than that movie. Because one thing that the Bible says is between 12 o'clock and 3, when our Lord was dying for our sins, it was dark in the entire world. And Luke said, like, the whole world went dark. And Luke said that the reason that happened was because the sun stopped shining. And if the sun stopped shining, it must have gotten suddenly very cold. And it must have gotten very, very stormy. And I don't know why, you know, it got dark over the whole world, except that maybe it was just so terrible that it wasn't something that anyone should see. You know, I was reading, I remember one time I was in Croatia, and they have one thing they do there is they sell roast goats and roast sheep, like in their store windows, and it's just like a whole sheep. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 52 that says that when Jesus would die for our sins, 7 centuries before he did it, it said that he would be so changed that he wouldn't even look like a person. And I remember looking at those goats and sheep in those windows, and they didn't even look like sheep anymore. They were just naked and burned up. And I'm thinking about our Lord just eating that meal with his disciples and looking at that sheep and knowing that it wouldn't be long before he would look like that. And I was reading an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and it was talking about how Jesus actually died in medical terms and what happened to him. And, you know, they were talking about when our Lord was beaten in Pilate's courtroom with whips that had bone and pieces of metal in it. And it uses words like, you know, the exposure of subcutaneous tissue and the exposure of skeletal muscles, the exposure of bones. In the Journal of the American Medical Association, when it came down to really saying it in a medical, technical way, the only way they could say it was he had become quivering ribbons of bleeding tissue. One thing that that article said was that when they were done whipping our Lord, that he was in critical condition, which one person said that after they did that, it was the equivalent of being shot with a shotgun blast. And a person who is in critical condition is a person who belongs in, just by definition, who belongs in the CCU or belongs in the ICU. And they have a high risk of death within 24 hours. And they said the reason that they knew this is because Jesus, he couldn't carry a beam that weighed 125 pounds, which at his job as at a carpenter, he did that every day. And when it fell on him, when he stumbled, the weight of it was the equivalent of being in a car accident and hitting the steering wheel with no seatbelt. It said that it probably bruised his heart. And then instead of, you know, having IVs in his wrist, he had 7-inch in critical condition. And he should have been in the ICU, and he had spikes nailed into his wrist. He was stripped and naked. And he had spikes nailed into his wrists and into his feet. And the article said that when people died of crucifixion, it was a confusion of conditions. That they mostly died of hypovolemic shock, which means that you lost so much blood that your heart was having to work so hard. And that a person was breathing. Because the only way to breathe would be as the carbon dioxide would just filling your body, would that you would be forced to push up on your feet, on the nail in his feet, to breathe. And as he lost more and more blood, and his heart was working harder, and he was going into hypovolemic shock, and his heart suffered a pericardial infusion, which just meant it just filled up with fluid because it was working so hard. Until finally they said normally a person would die of exhaustive asphyxia, which just basically means a person would just drown because they would get to a place where they were so exhausted that they just said, I can't do this anymore. And nobody should have to see that. Another reason why, I don't know the answer to why it was so dark and so cold, but it was just that this was a deep, deep mystery because, like, in that moment, you know, I think about you know, I can forgive people. I mean, no, you can forgive people. Why couldn't God just forgive people? I mean, why did it have to be all of that? Why did Jesus have to go through that? And, you know, I know the answers. The answers are, you know, because God is holy, and in order to forgive us, his holiness demands that there be, like, a payment for our wrongs so that he, in his love, could forgive us. And I know that's true. I know it's like, it was like a debt. And, you know, it's like when you, when someone owes you a debt, like if they owe you a debt of money, when they come to you and you realize they can't pay you and you forgive their debt, you're basically out that money. And if you're going to forgive a debt, you're basically saying, I'll pay it myself. And if God were to forgive us, he would basically have to come into our world and pay our debt himself. And I know that. But I think the doing of it was so deep and so mysterious. And like, and I'm a person who, like in Psalm 19, there's a verse that says, it says, forgive me for my hidden faults, like my hidden sins, which basically mean I do stuff and it breaks the heart of the living God. And it threatens to rend the moral fabric of the universe. And I don't even know I'm doing it. I'm not the person that needs to be judging what it does or doesn't take for my wrong to be paid for. The Word of God says that the reason that Jesus had to do that was because he was taking our place. And he was bearing what we deserved. And in the love of the living God, he sent God the Son to bear the wrath of a holy God for you and me. And, you know, wrath, the wrath of God, sometimes it means in the Bible, it's just like in the book of Romans where Paul said, it just means that God just lets you go the way you're, the way you want to go. I mean, just walking away from God, he just lets you live it where it will take you. And that's people walking from God. It's like that's where it took them. It took them to a place where they were so unkind, where we're so mean and so cruel. That's why, you know, that's why Jesus, to take our place, he couldn't be shot or he couldn't be stoned. I mean, like stoning, you think about like a big stone in your head. Like the very first stone is a stone in the head and you're knocked out and you're not even awake for the rest of it. I mean, it's not bad, really. But he had to bear all of the hurt and all of the, you know, abuse that are, that in God just letting it go where it has taken us and all of the abuse and the meanness and the unkindness. I think the worst part about it, you know, I was reading it this week in the Gospel of Luke, and I think the worst part about it was after our Lord was tortured for us, almost to death, they sat him on a chair and they slapped him in the face and they beat him over the head with a stick. And I'm like, really? All of the abuse and the hate of Rwanda and the Sudan, the Nazis, 10 million Africans stolen from their home and brought to this country, all of it. But the wrath of God is more, because the wrath of God for what we've done is God walking away and walking out forever. And if our Lord was going to take our place, it would have to be that. And that's why this world became so dark and so cold. And I think about, you know, Jesus, like coming into this world and walking in and, you know, the whole time knowing like the Father caring for him and, you know, taking care of him, and Jesus saying things like to people like, you know, it's, you know, you don't have to worry about eating and drinking what you're going to have to eat and drink, because, like, look at the birds. Like, the Father takes care of them, and, like, he's going to take care of you. He's taken care of me since the moment I was in this world. Look at lilies, you know. You don't have to worry about the clothes you're going to wear. I mean, Solomon was never dressed like them. I had swaddling clothes as a baby. He's dressed me every day I've been in this world. Until he did come to the place where he was thirsty. And he was naked. And I think about, like, our Lord Jesus walking this world. And, you know, knowing the love of the Father, because, like, he wasn't like us. You know, the Bible says that the love of God is poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. And the Holy Spirit, those who love Jesus, he's always telling them how much he loves them. And the Holy Spirit is always encouraging us and always leading us and telling us what to do. We're so polluted, you know, and just, like, we have so much mess in our heart that sometimes you don't hear it too well, and sometimes I feel like I can't even hear it at all, but I think about our Lord just perfect and pure. And, you know, God, but walking this world like one of us, and every second of that time, just knowing, like, how much the Father loved him, and the Father loved him. He could feel it perfectly, not only because he was perfect and pure, but also because it was a love that was different than the Father has for us, because the love he has for us, it's so infinite, but it's so full of, like, pity and, you know, his mercy. And for our Lord, it was just love for how awesome he was. And, you know, every moment just being so confident about who he was and knowing every second what to do and what to say, because the Holy Spirit was telling him and he could always hear it. And when he needed it most, to feel in such a time so unloved and so rejected and so unwanted and so full of shame and guilt, because he was taking our place. And the Holy Spirit, he couldn't hear the Holy Spirit tell him, just hang. It's just going to be a little while more. And he was filled with hopelessness. And it was something that he didn't think would ever be undone. You know? And he did it for you. You know? And he did it for me. And he didn't have to. Like, you know, he didn't have to do it. Sometimes, you know, I wonder if, like, if our Lord, you know, because he got to a place hours before where he said, Father, if there's any other way, you know, and he didn't have to. I just wondered, and I probably shouldn't wonder about these things because there's no answer to them, but just wonder what would have happened if our Lord had said, I just can't. Father, I just can't feel that, like, to be unloved by you, to be rejected, to be unwanted in those hours. I just can't do this. For one thing, we would never know, because we wouldn't be here, because the world would have blown up, you know, 2 centuries ago. But, you know, I think about, you know, the 9-year-old getting on the high dive, you know, and his dad waiting for him to jump. And he climbed up there and gets to the end and his dad is waiting, and I just can't do it. I have to climb down, you know? And I don't know of a dad that wouldn't say, son, you know, it's fine. I just don't know. All I know is that he did it. You know, he did it. And he did it for, because he wanted you so much. And because he loved you and me so much. And he wanted your heart. And he wanted your love. And he wanted, like, all of you. And because he did it and because he paid, I guess the good news is, even if you don't really love him back very much, and even if you don't really let him, like, you know, tell you what to do very much, and even if you don't want him, like, all that much in your life, if you believe in him, you're clean. And you're washed. That's the good news, I guess. But the better news is, you could love him too. And you could want him too. And you could, like, accept him too. And you could say to him, I do want you. Like, I want you in my, like, life. And because I've never been loved like this, and I love you back, and I want you to tell me what to do, and I want to do it, and I just want you, and I want to accept, like, anything you have for me. And I always, you know, feel like on this night, if more maybe than any other night, when you just stop and think about what it costs for you to be his, to just think, like, if you, you know, if there's anybody that, like, that you, you know, if there's anybody that you hate, or, like, if you have anybody in your heart, like, and you're bitter towards them, and you're saying in your heart, Lord Jesus, I don't love you enough to stop doing this, or somebody that you won't forgive, you have someone that you won't forgive them, and you're saying in your heart, I don't want you in my life enough for you to tell me to do that. If you have something in your life that's not pure, it's just not, and you know it's not, and you're saying to him, I don't love you enough to let you tell me to get rid of that. I don't. This would be the night to tell him that you do. To tell him that you just love him. That you want him. And that you're going to let that thing go. You're gonna forgive that person and maybe tell them. And you're going to get rid of that thing and maybe get help if you need to. But you're just going to do it because you love him and because you want him. And because you like want him in your heart. He already knows what it feels like to be unloved and to be rejected and to be unwanted by someone that he loved. And in his heart, he said, I don't like this. Let this be the night that you just say to him, I love you too. I want you to. Lord Jesus, I just pray for all of us, for all of our hearts, because I know we all do it. You know, we all say we don't want you that close and we don't want you in. You didn't have to do this for us, but you did. I guess we don't have to love you, and I guess we don't have to want you. All we have to do is believe in you and forgive, and we're forgiven. But it would be so much more awesome for you and for us if we did, and when we do. And Lord Jesus, we do. We love you. We want you.